We're at the home of Mrs. Josephine Cazette in Florence, and she's going to reminisce and go back into history and tell us something about her family and history and early days in Greenwood, Hardscrabble. Mrs. Cazette, will you tell us when you was born?
I was born in Rockvale, Colorado, on January 4th, 1895.
Your parents' name?
Joe Calmet and Maude Jones Calmet.
Will you spell that last name?
C-A-L-M-E-T-T.
You had brothers and sisters?
I had one brother, Joe Jr., and one sister, Janet Catney.
And you were born in Rockvale?
I was born in Rockvale.
And you moved to Hardscrabble Greenwood?
Yes, up on the Chatham Ranch in about 1911 or 12. I don't just remember exactly.
Tell us about your early life there on the ranch.
Well, it was really what my dad got for was for a summer place for us. However, we spent some little time of a winter or two up there, but it was really a summer place. But it was a nice ranch, beautiful place. It was joining the old Blake, Tony Blake place at that time, and now is the Billington Ranch.
What did your father do?
My father was a miner.
He was a coal miner.
Yes, but he just had a place for
summer.
For fun, yeah.
Okay, and go ahead, tell us about your life here on your early day.
Well, and there, the first thing, I guess, was that I was just a very young girl, but always kept my nursing in my mind, always, and I nursed the Clarksons that had the Forestdale resort up there when I was just a very young girl. I nursed them 2 months one winter when they both had pneumonia at that time. And then I, from there, as soon as I left there, Mr. R. Edmondson of the Hill Ranch came. No, he was not at the Hill Ranch then. They were on the Crest Place, but run cattle down there on Red Creek. And then later, we moved down. I went to stay and work for the Edmondsons, and we moved down to the Hill Ranch, what was known as the Hill Ranch. And then from there, I, after having a very nice time with all the young folks that used to be at the Siloam Country, they were a wonderful lot of people there then, you know, there's lots of farmers. And then I went to work for a sort of a companion to Miss Bartlett, and she owned, had bought the old Mont Evans place up there at Greenwood. And I stayed and worked for her until 1914 when I was married.
Well, now, she later married...
She later married Floyd Edwards.
And she had some children.
Three children.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, when you and Ed were married, and then where did you go?
Went down on to Red Creek. Ed and his dad had a bunch of cattle together, and so we stayed at Dad and Mother Cozad's down on Red Creek, down Siloam Country. And then that winter, then we bought our place up in the hole, up in the Red Creek Springs country. What people call it the hole, but that isn't really the Babcock's hole over there, but it's what people, you know,
they
think
refer to
it
that
as
a
yes,
hole.
Yes. And we ran cattle, Ed farmed, and then we later went to work for Mr. Lemonnier wanted us to come over to the old company ranch, in Gamar Ranch.
Gamar Ranch.
And he come and ask us if we wouldn't come and work there on the ranch, which we did. And then Mrs. Crouch at Greenwood, she had the little store and sort of a little eating place at Greenwood. And we bought that in the early part of 1919.
Now this Greenwood Hotel, you had accommodations for people that were stopped on there. Now that was a state stop too, wasn't it?
That everybody stopped there, and we fed great crowds of people there. We didn't have an awful big place, but we served an awful lot of people and took care of, and Pueblo Chamber of Commerce used to entertain their guests at our place there at Greenwood. And the Pueblo Chamber of Commerce, when they entertained, or Alonzo Stagg, the great football coach, I guess he was their guest in Pueblo. They entertained him out at our place at Greenwood.
You remember the old halfway house
at
the top of Jackson Hill.
Yes.
Can you recall some of the stories that was told about that?
Not too much. They were beginning to not keep people so much after a while. They did. The people from Westcliff up in the valley used to stop there as they were going with their hay and grain and potatoes to Pueblo, and then later they weren't stopping so much, and they stopped with us up at Greenwood.
In other words, the people changed their habits.
That's
and stopped at Greenwood.
That's
instead
right.
of the
it
old
It seemed
halfway.
Like whoever was, I don't remember the name of the people that was running the halfway house then, but anyhow, they didn't feel equal to taking care of the people anymore. So,
but they did have accommodations for
sleeping
overnight,
and fed the people. Yes,
coming from Pueblo, the old stagecoach, they stopped there and changed horses. How about the cattle drives? Now, at that time, the road didn't go through Wetmore, did it? That is the main road.
No, it went up on the hill from you could
house.
Get over to Wetmore. There was a road over there, but that wasn't the main way of going from Pueblo and the stage, or the stage, and the halfway house people that stopped with them, they went up the hill there by the old halfway house and on up past the Watson place and the old Steve Vaughn ranch and old man and old lady Duncan's place and Mr. Lively, Henry Lively had a place over there, and then later Vaughn's moved out and built over there where we all know it as Vaughn Place, just off of the creek at Greenwood.
Now, at one time, I think about 1912, they had a water district out there, and they used to build a reservoir. Do you know where that reservoir was supposed to be located?
Well, I don't know just exactly. Some talk was that they would put the reservoir, what most people wanted was it to be over in Babcock's Hole, to run the water around the hill and put it over there because it was a natural reservoir. You know, it didn't need much of a dam built to store the water in there. And another, I think that was a controversy that they never got any place with. Then they wanted it out kind of down on the, what is toward the Floyd Haynes place down in there. But that was a big open space that they had to build a bigger earth dam than they did over there. And that's then that whole, I don't know much more about it.
Well, in those early days, you went right along with the cattle drives, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I was always out there riding. And Yes. Well, it was a lot when they moved the cattle from the lower country, Goss and Edmondson, and the Hill Ranch outfit. Goss and Edmondson, Mr. Will Goss and Art Edmondson had the Hill Ranch leased, and they moved the cattle from down at the Red Top Ranch and all down in on their ranches down east of Pueblo, down there, and they brought them up, and all the cowboys came. All we girls in the Salon country had a big dance when the boys came moving the cattle, and then they stayed kept them overnight or a day or so at the Hill Ranch, and then they took them on up to Tommy Tompkins' ranch up in the mountains.
Well, you had your own horse and saddle and everything?
Everything. Mm-hmm.
And how many children do you have?
I don't have any. We never had any children.
Uh-huh. Well, in those days, when you first went out on the Greenwood, why, it was mostly horse and buggy and horses. There wasn't very many automobiles.
And then when we lived over on Red Creek, why, our mode of travel was horseback. We carried everything horseback in and out.
Living over on Red Creek, they had some what they call Red Creek springs.
Springs, yes.
Will you describe those springs?
Well, and they were mighty fine springs. There at one time a great many springs and very valuable waters. And there came a flash flood up in the canyon above them and drained most of those. It washed quite an arroyo down through there and drained those springs.
Water.
Pretty much. The original waters, yes. But today you can ride over that country and you can hear that's porous under there.
In other words, it seems to give a hollow sound.
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. Well, no, they had a hotel there, didn't they?
Yes, they had the Case Hotel. That was down toward by the springs more. And then they had the Wagner, I think, that called it, a hotel up the canyon farther, right under Bear's Head.
This Bear's Head, describe that.
Well, Bear's Head, you can see it from Florence as you start out, or you're coming from Canyon City, you look out south and those mountains, and that kind of big rock looking affair is called Old Bear's Head. That's Bear's Head Rock.
The people that patronized this hotel were usually people that came there for their health, was that it?
Yes. They came there for the security of waters and for their health. A lot of them were tuberculars. And they came there, and so a good many died there. And they had their own little cemetery, which is still there. The cemetery is still there. Of course, the graves have long since been trampled and broken up by the cattle running over them. But and there's evidence some... was the last time I was over there, of where the old Case Hotel was, and a beautiful yellow rose garden, the most beautiful yellow roses. They are a little different than most of our yellow roses are.
Well, now, this was on which ranch?
That was on what they call the Case Place.
Case Place.
The Case Place.
Do you know who has it now?
Yes, you know, over there.
What do you mean the, what's the name of that ranch that's east of Pueblo, west of Pueblo there?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Don Kay owns that now. Mm-hmm. And I think Don Kay owns our old ranch that we had in there, too.
Of course, that's...
on Red Creek.
They haven't improved that ranch or anything. It's just
where we were?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that even any of the buildings are standing.
Do you know whether there might be some old foundation there where the hotel was or anything like that?
Well, there was. Yes, there was.
How do you get to it?
When you go up through Salon Country and go up to Don Case, I think now they have a fair road that you can get in and out there now. When we traveled in and out there,
wagon,
We went horseback. We had our cattle. We looked after our cattle. We had quite a few horses. Ed had some real good horses. And we used to ride for our horses, broke our own horses, and we rode all the time.
Did you have a pretty good size herd of cattle?
Well, yes, fair size. Mm-hmm.
About how many?
Well, I don't know, I think. And turned the cattle out on the range.
It was all open.
It was all open. We paid for our permits, for our cattle permits.
To the Forest Service.
That's right, and Mr. Jim Lowell was the forest ranger at the time.
Can you name some of the old-time ranchers around there at that time? Now, did you go to school out there, too?
No. No, I didn't. My brother did up the Blake Ranch. My brother did. But we girls did not. Well, there was, to start with, up on South Hard's Gravel, there was the old Barton place, Charlie Barton, and Mrs. Farrington, his sister, and Mr. Farrington, that was her husband, and they had three children up there. And then there was the Chatham place, which my father and mother owned. And then there was the Blake Ranch, and Mr. Tony Blake and his mother and his wife and their son Everett lived there. Then there was the old Snyder place down, joined them. Later was the Holstein place. No. Later was the oh, I wish I might use that.
Well, then you can think about it after a while. You knew Louis Draper out there, I suppose.
Oh, yes, Louis and I were kids, back in 1912 and 13. We were very much youngsters and used to go to all the dances and all, had a big time.
He came out there when he was a pretty young man.
Yes.
Of course, he has quite a spread now.
Yes.
Can you remember some of the others around?
Well, there was the Barker place. That's what I wanted to say a while ago. The Barker bought the Snyder place. And then there was old Albert Schaefer. And then the ranger station was down in the canyon there. And Jim and Mrs. Lowell lived down in there on the ranger station. And old John Clementosh. He was an old-timer, and he had a little old cabin over on the hillside over there, and he also owned the ranch that Dad Cozad owned, which is later known as the Edwards Ranch there. But old John Clementosh owned that. And
now this old hotel.
And the Wrights. Well, let's finish up the neighbors up there. Then there was the old Snyder place, and or the old Wright place, I mean to say, Wright place. And then they later moved from their own little place at the bottom of the hill up onto the Albert Schaefer Ranch. And then from there on, then up in the canyon was old Molly and Ike Sanders.
What, Molly and Ike Sanders?
Yes.
Well,
and that was John Sanders, his father and mother.
Oh, well, that's Mrs. Shine here's daughter or something, isn't it?
No, not of them. Oh. No. No, she was a Morgan.
Oh, I see. Well, now this old hotel, you say they had a stage from Greenwood to Florence, that is
yes,
the mail.
Yes. And Mr. Snyder ran the mail stage, and of course he took passengers back and forth and hauled the little stuff that anyone had. He used to haul out quite a few things for us when we had the store and the hotel there too.
And he'd come to Florence and stay overnight?
No, he drove it in the day. He made it
Oh, he'd go back?
Because he had the mail, see.
I see.
And he left early in the morning, and then he got back in the evening.
I see. Usually an all-day trip.
Yeah, that's right.
12 or 14 miles.
That's right.
What else can you tell us about? Later, you, this old hotel has burned down since then.
Yes. That's where Mr. Snyder ran the stage from.
Yeah.
That later burned in later years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And at that time there was a saloon there, is that it?
Yes, when it burned, I think, or about that time. I wasn't there. We didn't move there then.
And your hotel at Greenwood was up the creek a little further.
Yes, yes. And we had the cottages, and we built several more cottages, and we had the store and the hotel. And everything, and had a great many people to, we fed an awful lot of people there from all over. In fact, we had people from all over the United States and two or three foreign countries as guests there.
In other words, they'd come there and stay all summer, is that it?
And some of them stayed all summer. We had people that kept cottages from one season to another once a year, and they could take it so they could have it for the next year. From Oklahoma and different places they came. The Jacks, there was some of the Jacks that used to be here in Florence.
Ed and Del Jack?
Some of them. They had a cottage with us for quite a while. They kept the cottage.
Did anything out of the ordinary ever happen? You should occasionally. With that
excitement.
Number of people, something usually happened.
Well, nothing very exciting, I don't think. All things were really, whether Ed and I expected too much or always seen it that way, was the nice things, mm-hmm. The nicer times, the nicer things of people and everything. But we met a lot of people that needed a lot of help, which we tried to give to them. And people were always nice. I think maybe the only thing was, and it wasn't too evident, but I always was trying to feed everybody. I was scared everybody was going to be hungry, especially boys. I was
yeah.
afraid boys was hungry. And there was a boy came there one time, and he didn't ask for any food or anything, but that boy was sick, and I knew it, and it was one of those... What was those boys' brother's name? I just had the name on the tongue just a few minutes ago. But anyhow, he was dizzy. He was so hungry.
Mm.
And he was on the run from the law then. But he never asked, nor he never tried to get any money or anything. He would just. But outside of that, I don't believe there was anything too exciting. It was in later years, it was exciting that old Jim Sears, bless his old soul, he was a nice old timber hauler, and he had rooms or little apartment or something down there in the old hotel, and he hauled timber, and then he was very fine fellow, had very fine sense of humor and everything, and then after we poor old Jim died. The Ladies' Aid gave him a wonderful funeral and everything, and then they said he was Jesse James. And they took the body up that night after he was buried. Tom Easton was the mortician then, and he told me himself that that night after dark why they had taken the body up. And he was very, very fine old fellow. He was very charitable. And he used to want to do things for people, that, especially children that didn't have much. And he would say, now I want to give you some money and leave some money here, and you give the children around here candy and things that children like. And I said, I will, but Mr. Sears, I have to tell them that... because they would think it was us giving it to them. And I said, we can't do that, and I wouldn't want it that way. But I will tell them that some kind person left the money for them to have this, and that's the way it was. And then one time it came about Christmas time, and Clay Tribbett lives here. Mm-hmm. His wife was very delicate and very frail, and she passed away. And she had some rooms down there at the old hotel building. And they had a little girl, Ada, and she used to follow Mr. Sears around, and he thought so much of that little girl, so he gave me some money to buy her a lovely doll for Christmas. She didn't know who it came from. I told her some nice person left the money for her to have a doll, and then the following summer or spring, her mother died. Clay's wife died.
Well, this Mr. Sears, I've heard that rumor too about Jesse James. They tell about some woman that appeared there, well-dressed woman, seemed to have plenty of money, and seemed to be with this Mr. Sears. Is that?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I've never heard about any woman. He was very woman shy, but he did, as he had his rooms down there in the Mr. Hub.
Miller?
No. Thor.
Oh, yeah.
George Thor. They bought that building then later from some folks that had bought it. A few families had owned it before the Fullers. And Mr. Sears had this little apartment there. And
now, this was out at the old hotel.
Yes. And Mr. Fuller said one evening, he came in an awful hurry, and he said, "Hub, take care of my team till I get back." There was a car drove up in those days. Why, the cars had these curtains on them, you know.
Celluloid.
Yeah. And he said, "Hub, you take care of my team," he said, "till I get back." And Bob, that was the dog, his old dog. And he said, "You take care of them till I get back." And away he went. And there was two men in the car. And Mr. Fuller did not know who they were or anything. And so the next day, he came up to our place, up to the store. And he was telling us, and he said, "You know, I'm kind of worried." He said, "Jim left in such a hurry and seemed kind of bothered." And he repeated about taking care of this team for him and old Bob the dog. And so then he was gone several days, and when he didn't know anything about him, but he kept on, you know, feeding him, taking care of him. And one evening, here come this same-looking car, and Mr. Sears got out, and that was that. Mr. Sears never told him where he'd been or anything about it. But he said, later years, Mr. Fuller said, "You know, about that time," he said, "there was a big holdup down in New Mexico," I think was what he said that it was. And he said, "I don't know whether Jim was connected with that or not." But he said, anyhow, he left in a hurry and he came back just as mysteriously as he left. And so that was it. But he never did. And when he come up to the store, and we had a dog, very friendly dog, and he liked everybody but Mr. Sears. He didn't want Mr. Sears to come in, and especially to get over too far in the store. Mm-hmm. And I would scold the dog a little bit, and he said, "Miss Cosette," he said, "don't do that." He said, "Dogs know men better than people."
Well, he's probably right.
And so we never thought anything about that, but Mr. Sears was a wonderful old fella. He hauled timber. And Mr. Guy Moore, and there was all those old timber haulers, and old Cal Sweeten occasionally would haul a little load, a little short tail load of timber, and a good many of them up there in the mountains, and the Bradshaws, and the Hornings, which used to live up there. Hornings is what I want to say. And Charlie Bragg.
Well, when did your husband die?
In 59.
59. Were you living on the...
No, we were living, or I was living in Grand Junction.
I see.
We later sold out, and we went over on the western slope. And but Ed died in Pueblo in 59.
How long do you live in Florence then?
Here now? I came back here in 58.
1958. Or 68. 68, yeah. Well, you had a pretty exciting life out there.
Well, it was all very, very friendly country that was, and we all had great times every Friday night. Why, we all got together and went to somebody's house and had a party and dance. And the room would just be a little bitty old room, but we all danced in there. And there was one fellow that could play the violin. He could only play one thing, Nellie Gray. And we danced everything to old Nellie Gray. And we killed old Nellie Gray that winter by dancing so much. But everybody was so friendly, and that was the way we got together. And we.